Women's Shiur and Chayvus Halvavus, Wednesday afternoon. Shari Yichud HaMaisa.
How are you feeling, Baba?
Baruch Hashem. I'm getting better. In the immortal words of the Beatles, I got to admit it's getting better all the time. Baruch Hashem, you women don't know what I'm talking about. Baruch Hashem. Okay, 2 minutes early, so we won't start early. We'll find the place meanwhile. So we're in Shar, the safest thing is Halvavus, Shar Yichud HaMaisa, which we're learning for a long time already, and really the whole Shar Yichud HaMaisa can be summed up in 3 words, just like Shar HaBitachon can be summed up in 3 words, and just like Shar HaYichud can be summed up in 3 words. And just like Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh can be summed up in 3 words, and Shar HaKaniya can be summed up in 3 words, Shar Yichud HaMaisa means to do things with a single-mindedness of purpose. Yichud HaMaisa, single-mindedness of purpose. And the single-mindedness of purpose is, of course, doing the will of Hashem, which is easier said than done. And life is very complicated, and most people, most of the time, have other motivations for what they do. It's very hard to do mitzvahs under what we call laboratory conditions, that you're really singularly focused on doing the will of Hashem. And Perek Hay expands the discussion to a discussion of how to combat the Yetzer Hara, because that's really what life is about. I mean, so in the first part he talks about Averus, in the first part of Perek Hay, which is a more blatant battle with the Yetzer Hara. He gives his famous Mesholim about how to view the Yetzer Hara in the beginning of Perek Hay, that it's a Milchama, and he's your biggest enemy that you'll ever have, the Yetzer Hara, and he's tireless, and it's a Milchama bigger than any Milchama you'll ever face, or that any country ever faces, and so on and so forth. Now, the blatant Averus, so the Yetzer Hara tries to take you away from doing the will of Hashem, and with different enticements, with different cheshbonos, with different sfeikos, that he tries to make you doubt. You know, not everything's black and white, and there's shades of gray. And so he tries to weaken our avodas Hashem vis-a-vis not listening to Hashem. And we're in the second half of Perek Hay now. We spent a lot of time in the first half, but now we're in the second half, which talks about 12 pituyim of the Yetzer Hara, which are very much more subtle, because they involve doing mitzvahs and feeling from and feeling good about yourself. But it's not Avodas Hashem in its pure form. And I always say, sometimes when you learn Chavis Halvavis, or maybe other Musas Farim as well, you feel kind of depressed. Like, halavai, I would do mitzvahs like Shalom Lishma. Where does the Chavis Halvavis want me to be? So we said it's important, and we see this in everyday life. We see this by the Goyim. We see this in social, in living by the Goyim, in society. If you don't have the standards to shoot for, then very quickly things deteriorate, and you're left with, so you say, okay, we're gonna make the standard what most people are capable of. But then that quickly deteriorates, and either it's called dumbing down, or it's called Senator Patrick Moynihan had a word for it. You know, when things deteriorate, the values deteriorate, deviancy, defining deviancy downwards, and things quickly slip by, because if you make the standard what people are holding by doing, right? If I come into a shul and I say, okay, the standard of the shul's goals and Avodas Hashem are what the people are capable of doing. So, you're not going to get very far, right? You gotta, you gotta raise a bar and have people jump for the bar. And then they raise themselves and lift themselves. And then you keep raising it and keep lifting it because there's no end. So that's first of all, the Chavis Halvavos presents us with the ideal, and it's good to know the ideal, even if we won't reach the ideal, because we have to know that there's an ideal, and we have to know how far we are from the ideal. And if it makes us depressed, and if it makes us give up, and if it makes us feel like we'll never get anywhere, that's obviously not good. So you have to be a little more mature about it, and say, you know, again, you have to realize what the goal is. You have to realize how Moshe Rabbeinu was. You have to know that. You have to know what the ideal is. And then you could shoot for the ideal, and even if you fall short, so at least if the graph's moving up, and if you know what the ideal is, so at least you recognize where you're holding and what's right, and, you know, and what's not so good. And Chazal encourage us, Chazal tell us, Lolum Yasagodim Torah V'mitzvah Shalol Lishma, Shafilu Shalol Lishma Bal Lishma, do things for the wrong reasons, do the right things for the wrong reasons. And Chazal Lovus, hey, you know, what about that? The answer of the Chazal Lovus Chazal Lovus is writing the way things are. That's not the way things are supposed to be. Now, parenthetically, Chazal mean that your goal should always be to do it lishma. Even when you do things shalol lishma, if your goal is to do it shalol lishma, that's not very good. You're really not going to get anywhere. And I don't know if what the Gemara says, shemitoch shalol lishma, bo lishma, I don't know if that will be fulfilled. If your goal is to do it shalol lishma. Your goal should be to do it lishma, and as the Chavis Halavos himself says, and one of his famous mishalim, he gives a lot of mishalim. He says, you know, you start off, you give a kid candy. You don't expect the kid to learn or to do good deeds because it's the right thing to do. So you give him candy. And then eventually you hope he'll grow out of the candy. That's chinuch. And you get him used to doing good things. And hopefully, as he gets older, he'll need less and less candy. And he'll do things because you taught him a mode of behavior. And adults need more time to drop the candy. And the candy is very subtle sometimes. And sometimes you're left with the candy of Olam Haba, which is also just candy. And, you know, halavai. Halavai, we would do mitzvahs because we want to get Olam Haba. That's like pretty good. So that's number one. To know that what the ideal is, so that you don't automatically fall short of the ideal and then everything starts deteriorating from there. You have to know what bar you're shooting for. Number two is that you could do it. You couldn't do it. You don't have to do it every minute. You don't have to do it your whole life, every minute of your life. But if you do it once a month you hit a peak. Once a month you did something that no one knows about. Once a month you did something only because it's pleasing to Hashem and no one else will ever find out about it. That's it. That's terrific. That's amazing. That's... So you know, you've gone, you rang the bell, you hit the thing, and you hit the bell, and you learned Chavis Halvavos, so you know what's right, you know, bullseye, you got it right. So if you get it right once a month, if you get it right maybe once a year, we don't know, Hashem measures that. If you get it right once in a while, you're also good. So that's another reason why it's important to know what the ideal is, because you will hit it. You will hit it once in a while. You might not hit it in everyday life, but you'll try to, and you'll better your behavior, and maybe you will be able to do it. And maybe the amount of times that you're able to do it will increase in frequency as you get older, as you go through life more.
How do you know if you hit the goal?
How do you know? That's what we say. I say it and I say it again and I have nothing to say. You have to have the koach of introspection. You have to have the koach to look at yourself as an objective person, as if you're objective. Sometimes people just can't do it and they have to have a good friend or a mentor or even just a good friend that they can talk things over with. There's no magic. You want a blood test. You know, you want to go into the Kupa on Sunday morning, take a blood test, and it comes out with the results. If you're doing things Lishma or not. It's like ADD. There's no blood test for it. Okay. So let's go back to the text. And Nisoya number one, Pitoy number one in this group of 12, the 12 final Pituyim. Pitoy number one was that he goes from the most blatant of these more subtle ones to the most subtle of the subtle. So the first one was to do things because you want to find favors in the eyes of people. You want people to hold of you. The second one, which we just about finished or at the end of, is closely related to it. It's just a little different, to do things for kavod. You don't really care what they think about you, but you want the kavod. Kavod is a very powerful pull. People make fools out of themselves for kavod. People do all sorts of things for kavod. People do good things. Give a lot of tzedakah because they want kavod. And it's a very powerful... Chavis HaLava says, you know, if you think about it, it's a joke. It's meaningless. Who's giving you kavod? That guy's worse than you are. Like the kavod he's giving you is essentially meaningless. And they're mocking you in their hearts, he says. Just tell the Yetzirah, they're mocking me. I'm not really getting covered out of it. And 90% of the time, maybe not 80% of the time, that people get covered. We're talking about people for doing mitzvahs. I'm not talking about parents or a Talmud Chacham that deserves covered, but that people get covered for doing mitzvahs and for being special. So most of the time that people are mocking them, knowing that they want the covered and they're enjoying the covered, and maybe they've been doing the Lashem covered. And who's giving me kavod, he says, a people boss of a dom who's essentially meaningless. And he says, and that which you say, we'll start, and that which you say, says the Chavis HaLvavis, let's see what we're up to in the text, okay. And that which you say, that, you see, Hashem promises a person kavod if he does good deeds. So there's all sorts of psukim promising Hashem Gadol, Hashem Chashuv Ba'aretz, and she says, look, Hashem could reward me. It's kavod is a reward. Kavod ostensibly feels good. If you think about it, it doesn't feel so good. If you start thinking about what the people, if they think you're looking for the kavod and you're after the kavod, then they're not mechabed you at all. They're really just they're mocking you. But assuming you just get kavod because you taka did a good thing lishma, so that's Hashem's promise. He promised Shlomo HaMelech that he'll have riches and chokhmah and kavod. It's certainly a quality. It's something Hashem rewards us with. It's a big nisayon because you can't take your kavod too seriously. If you do, you're in big trouble. So it's a nisayon, but the person himself should not do things for kavod's sake, even if it's a quality and Hashem gives it as a reward. That doesn't mean you should seek it out, because seeking out of kavod is spiritually very harmful. And people, then he says, people will mock me. And then, ironically, says the Chavis HaLavas, you could tell the Yitzhar, you're going to end up what's called kereach mikan v'kereach mikan, bald from both angles. You'll have lost your Olam Haba, because you'll have gotten your kavod in Olam Hazeh, so you got your reward here. But you're not getting Olam Hazeh either, because really they're mocking you, and the kavod they're giving you is just chitzonius. They're standing up for you, rising, putting you in the front, and it's all nothing. It's an Irish guy, it's silly. And so you lose out your Olam Haba, and you don't even have Olam Hazeh. You have nothing to show for it. Maybe you have the place. These are the last few lines that we learned last time. They asked the Melech, this person came to sing for him, maybe it was his own song. Maybe it was even Kriyas HaTorah. Maybe it was his own composition. He says, below Orvalocha Kriyas Poloni. Wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that gorgeous? Such a nice voice, beautiful voice, great song. Vayakola Orev, beautiful voice. Ubaki Betomim Shel Kriya, and he got the notes, he hit the notes right. Amalaham, so the Melech says, Vayech Terav Li Kriyoso. It was disgusting to me. Every beautiful note he hit, to me, made me quiver in disgust, made me cringe. Why? Because I know he's reading it, for who ain't a koriosa elekadesha teoravli, the yimtsochein be'enai ba'avura, he wants something out of it. He's doing it for his purposes. So how can I enjoy what he's doing? He's doing it for himself. If I would know, this is a big nisayon chazonim have, especially chazonim yom and noiroim, who are told that they have to inspire the olam, and they have their nigunim and their nusach, and it's meant to inspire the olam, and they can get a lot of schar if they inspire the olam to daven better and to focus on their davening and to have kavana. They can accomplish quite a bit, but they're walking a thin line, because then, you know, they're imagining people saying to them after davening, Yeshkaya, such a beautiful davening, wow, you inspired me, and they're feeling good about themselves, and it's just, you know, you have to, it's a thin line, you have to walk it. Still, some people I know that shied away from Chazanus for that reason, that they were afraid to take on, and then they take on the achrayus of doing that, and to stand in front of Hashem on Yom Noiroim, and essentially to make a fool out of yourself by davening so beautifully and crying and tearing the heavens apart, when what you're thinking is, I wonder how this sounds to the guy in the back row, you know. And it's a big nisayon. Many people don't want this nisayon. On the other hand, life is not simple. Chavis Halova says when he finally picked up a pen to write the sefer, he writes in the Hagdama, he says, he stopped himself and he said, what am I doing here? This is such a gaiva. Who am I to write this sefer? I'm doing this for kavod. Write the sefer, and it's going to be a wonderful sefer, and I'm going to help a lot of people, and then people are going to say, hooray, Mr. Chavis Halova. And he put down his pen and he decided not to write the sefer. And then he realized that that is the Yetzer Hara talking as well. Because he had in him the Sefer Chavis Halvavos. And the Yetzer Hara wanted to prevent the Sefer from coming out. So which way do you do? Out of the billions, millions, billions of Sfarim that have been written, I know a handful that have been written without a name. A handful. Why aren't there more? Maybe you'll wonder why there's even this handful. I'm talking about contemporary Sfarim, and one of them I know who it is, and he wrote subsequent Sfarim, and he wrote his name in the subsequent Sfarim. The first Sefer he ever wrote, he didn't write his name, but then there's a series of Musar Va'adin, and there's no name in it. It's very rare, very rare. So why? Why is it so rare? I don't know. You want people to read the Sefer, maybe nobody will take it so seriously. There's so many Sfarim out there. Like, who's going to pick up the Sefer and read it? Maybe your friends will, like this. You have a fighting chance that 10 people will read the Sefer. Like this, there's just a deluge of, you know, 50, 60, 70 new Sfarim every week in the bookstores. Maybe, you know, you wouldn't have some, there's no question that if it wouldn't be for putting your name down, people, there wouldn't be so many new Sfarim coming out. So it works. So each individual has to make his own cheshbon. And as I said, the Chavis Halvavos himself stopped writing, caught himself and said, no, I can't do this. And then caught himself again and says, I have to do this. This is an important sefer that begs to be written. And I'm doing it. That's it. I'm not letting the Torah stop me. So what do? You know, you do your best. Doesn't mean the nisyonos are not there. He put his name on it, obviously. You didn't know his name was Mr. Chavis Halavos. He put his name on it. And, you know, he wanted to be taken seriously. He was a big person, apparently, in the door. He was a Talmud of Sanjagon. And you could write the best sefer in the world. And if you don't attach your name to it, you right away, people pick it up, and it's that much harder. People should take it seriously. Because really, people, half the time, I'm not really judging it on its quality. They're really like looking at the name first and then judging the quality based on the name. It's tough. It's tough. Life is tough. So that's number two, is that the chazan, it's tougher because he's in the public eye. And he's doing it very, very publicly. But he's there to inspire. But if you ever been in yeshivas, so yeshivas minimize nusach. So one of the reasons they minimize nusach is that they feel it's sort of like, for the same reason you don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If it's really, you feel Sifrei Chaim Umesim are open in front of Hashem, and you're sitting there, you know, trying to hit the high E, the high D, the high F note in D major. But another reason is to minimize this problem. So the less nusach there is, or maybe the more nusach, you know, the less convoluted, complex chazonus, which is like opera, really. Real chazonus is opera. So the more there is, the more danger there is. The harder it is for the chazan to do things not l'shem kavod. And he's the chazan, he's leading the tzibur. And like if he's sitting there full of gaiva, it's terrible. It's very, very hard. Very hard.
Can you enjoy kavod?
What?
Can you enjoy kavod? I mean, let's say you recognize...
Everybody does.
Is it a negative? Let's say you recognize Hashem gave you you have a talent for laying, and you have one halachas and you do it properly, and you recognize that you do a good job.
You're mixing in two things. I'm sorry. You could enjoy the fact that it's a job well done. That's called job satisfaction. You enjoy the fact that you did it right. That's an essential inherent satisfaction. That's not the kavod is already something else. That's treif. It's hard, but you're enjoying the kavod means you're enjoying. I mean, who are these people who are giving you kavod? They can't lame. That's what the Chavis Halevos wants you to think about. Why am I enjoying that kavod? That's so silly. They haven't the slightest idea what a good laning is. They don't know. you enjoy the fact that you did a job well done, that you practiced a lot, or a little, doesn't matter. You practiced and you did a good job. And this is how Hashem wants me to lane. You want to do the Ratzon Hashem. This is how Hashem wants me to lane. He gave trup, and he even gave mapik caves, and he gave these little nuances that most probably karim don't do. Certainly nowadays they don't do it. And you feel satisfied that you did you really want to be satisfied that you did the will of Hashem. This is how Hashem wants me to lane. I made Hashem proud. I did what Hashem wanted. That's an ideal. One step below that is just, you feel satisfaction for a job well done. Anybody would feel that. That's what you should feel. The kavod that you get, wow, it's unbelievable. We wish you would lane every week. You're such a good Baal Koreh. That is indeed treif. Treif. It's the human condition. It's the human condition. He's trying to take you away from that. And he's telling you exercises here, what to think about when people give you kavod. And we all enjoy it. There's not a human being in the world that doesn't enjoy kavod. And he says, well, think for a second how worthless it is. It's a joke. And the biggest joke of all is that they're mocking you because they see how you're enjoying the kavod. And who are they to give you kavod? And who cares what they think of you? Your value neither rises nor falls based on their assessment of you. They don't know anything. Who are they? And if a panel of your peers, let's say, are judging you how you're doing, and they give you an A or an A minus, yeah, and you feel great, that's not kavod. That's, you feel good that you, that your peers who are, who understand chazanus, or who understand laning, they feel you did a good job, so you feel good about the job well done. Oh yeah, absolutely, 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 absolutely. It is, yeah. Okay, he's not finished. He's not finished. Let's learn a little more inside text. So the Melech said, "It's disgusting to me because when you know he's singing, and he means to get something out of it. And if he would sing to give kavod to Hashem, if he would sing because his tunes and words are pleasing to Hashem, that then it would be wonderful." So he talks about chazanim. They used to make up their own piyutim. You know, he wants his contract renewed. That's very strong words. If your purpose is you want people to like you, to hire you again, there's something in it for you, so Hashem does not enjoy it. The Tomer Lo Od. Now he's continuing. This is again only number 2 of the 12 enticements of the Yetzer Hara in this second section of Perek A. The Tomer Lo Od. He says, you know, what am I going to gain out of this? Shema Yili Hakavod Bala Mazel. Let's say I accept this kavod and I deserve it, and it's wonderful. Lo Yishar Li Lolam Haba Menagemul Olav Klum. So I'm getting my schar in Olam Hazeh. I gotta be nuts. How long does kavod last? A few fleeting seconds? An hour? Like if you're in a, you know, so it'll last for an hour, and you're getting your schar now for an hour. And you're relinquishing schar that's la'ad uliyome olamim for all of eternity. So he says it's not even kedai. It's a lo kedai. If you make a cheshbon, even if I want. So it's not kedai for me to take this in place of olam habav. But shemem yeli akavod olam hazel ma'asai lo yishar li olam habav and agmul olav klum meneisha ki baltiv mehera olam hazel. The Omra Alechad Menachasidim, an apocryphal story. Shenichnas Lashok Liknos Chayvitz, he went into a store. Talmud Chacham, you know, Talmud Chacham of a neighborhood walked into a store to buy something. Uvol Lachanus Echad Menachasokrim Liknos Omimenu. Someone else came in. Vomelo Shcheno Vaterlo Vasei Kiritzono. Serve him, he said to the storekeeper, serve him, like treat him good, treat him nicely. Kihu me'an she'ayiru v'hatorah. A chash of a person. You know this person is a chash of a person. Maybe let him go ahead online a little, maybe, I don't know. Give him good service. So the guy said, Amalai achosid, any tzorech levitu recha, you did not do me a favor now, you messed me up. Kilobasi liknos kiyimba mamoni. I came with a wallet full of money to buy something with. And you're making me spend my Torah to get the chayfetz. Loba Torasi. I didn't come with a medium of exchange, my money. I came with a medium of exchange called, my Torah. I came with the medium of exchange called my money. Now you're making me spend my Torah in order to get the chayfetz. Umei ein liknos meno. He walked out of the store. Because his purchase of it would have entailed taking advantage, getting kavod. So he walked out of the store and he went to the next store where they didn't know him. Ubichuetzuzuloso, shaloho yo yodeh in yano. Okay, and you continue to talk to the Yetzor, Majo Zacharta, that which you mentioned, Minyan Vosiso the Hashem, that Hashem promises you kavod. If you do the right thing, who kisharma vaye b'nei adam? Yeah, kavod's kishmak is like being wealthy. Hashem's saying, I'll give you wealth, I'll give you hatzlacha, I'll give you kavod. It's one of the things that people enjoy. So Hashem can decide to give it to you as a reward. You have to handle it the right way. You have to not let it go to your head. You can't believe that it's really deserved. You know that it's very not deserved. You know how lacking you are still in your avodas Hashem, what you have to do to just to tread water a little and make sure you give Hashem his due. So he promises you, at some point he promises you something great called kabod. That doesn't mean you should strive for it and you should want it and you should go after it. Asher habore meite bem labodot, it's something Hashem uses to do good to those who serve him. When Hashem's chachma, wisdom, determines when's the right time for that person to have it, it's the time and the place of everything. He doesn't get it when he first did it. He gets it. He can get it two decades later. This is Hashem talking to Shlomo HaMelech. Gam osher v'gam kavod. Uksiv orach yomim b'mino b'smolo osher b'chavod. Abul Achasidim ain't kabbonosim b'maiseyim l'daber mehem. They're not looking for it. Elo l'shem abor yosalem, hopefully. Shehu meitiv lahem l'misha yirtzeh. So he gives this to them when he chooses to. Me'anshe avodaso. And guess what? He gives kavod to people who don't believe in Hashem. V'zulosam ma'aminim b'kofrim. He gives it to them too. They'll also have their share of kavod. You can't know. This is already getting into Hashem's cheshbonos. It doesn't mean necessarily it's a great thing for you to have. It's one of the things Hashem gives you as a reward. There's money, there's atzlocha, there's health, there's kavod. It's one thing on a laundry list. And sometimes Hashem gives it to people who are Rishoyim. Go figure that. K'moshe ne'emar v'osher v'yakovol milfanecha. If you say that by davening, now you'll say these words a little slower, and you realize that it's very, it's full of meaning.
So if it's a reward, like money, like this and that, so why does it go to Rishoyim then?
Because that's what he's saying. He's just throwing it in. Because sometimes we show him have it good in this world. Rosh of the Tovlo. He's just throwing it in to show you that what he wants you to do is you can't bring a proof that it's a good thing to have. I mean, it is good, but then he says it is good. Hashem will reward people with it. But sometimes he'll give it to Rishon. You know, the most common idea would be if he wants to give Rishon their reward in Olam Hazeh, and they Taka should not get the reward in Olam Haba. So we know, you know, Hashem gives it to who he gives it to. You can't bring a proof from the fact that he doles it out that I should pursue it. That's his main point.
And you can't bring a proof if you get it that you're getting a reward. You might be getting a punishment. Is that true too?
It's a little true. We try not to think about it. I mean, what do I mean? You know, if you learn all these Musa Svarim and you learn Tavis Al-Dabas and you learn Silsa Sharm and you learn all these things, and then a person has a good life and things are going along swimmingly well, so should they say, uh-oh, I'm getting all my schar in Olam Hazeh? You know, that's a very terrifying thought.
Yeah.
I've never seen anywhere that a person should actually request, you know, chas v'shalom, you know. You have to realize, so what should the person do? Because it might be true. So the person, see, the chavit of always provides the perfect answer. If things are going well for you, increase your avodas Hashem. Because that will be the way you say thank you. Your basic Torah or mitzvahs, right, remember the Chavis, this whole picture, is that's your way of saying thank you. Can we help you? See, the Chavis is perfect, because everything in the Chavis Halavas' world is our way of saying thank you to Hashem, of expressing gratitude. He therefore says, at many points in the Sefer, that if you have it really well, right, your child hasn't had an ear infection in like 2 months, then you thank Hashem. And you increase your giving of tzedakah, you increase your chesed, you increase your Torah, if I'm talking to a man, you increase your learning, you increase your davening kavona. That's the way of saying thank you. If you stand still in the same place, that's bad. It's bad. So you could look at it as an esayon, because you're saying, oh, things are going great for me, Baruch Hashem, Ha'parnosa, and my kids are doing great in school, and this is like weird, I'm a little scared. Of course, I'm looking around. So the answer is to make sure you thank Hashem that things are going so well. And how do you thank Hashem? By increasing your avodas Hashem. I would say, if it's a man, I'd say, take on an extra half hour of learning a day. Start with a half hour. Give a little more tzedakah. Do a little more chesed. Work on a midah. Like, when's the last time you worked on kas, on savlanut, on batalecha kamocha? Like, there's so much work to do. So you could turn it around. And, you know, even if Hashem meant it, maybe. We don't know. You know, so it is a little scary, as I said, because we know that that concept's out there, that things are going well for me, and I'm healthy, Baruch Hashem, and this, and uh-oh, maybe I'm getting my Yischar and Olam Hazeh. That is a scary thought. And so the only thing you can do about it, since we're not privy to Hashem's accounting system, we don't know, so you make sure you say thank you and you increase your avodas Hashem. So then you're using it in a good way, and hopefully that'll be good. Hashem is not fair. If a person is afraid, uh-oh, maybe I'm a Russian, I'm getting my schar in Olam Hazeh, then all the person has to do is think about, am I a Russian? Like, let me go through my day, let me go through my actions, let me see how I'm living. And if he says, I'm not perfect, but I'm not really like a Russia, that Hashem would give me my schar in Olam Hazeh, it's not logical to me. There's nothing hidden. Hashem doesn't play tricks with us. Like, sometimes we learn all these forum and we're like, Hashem is this like mean. Yeah, they're looking to trip us up. Aha, gotcha. Hashem's not like that. Hashem loves us and he's a Rachamon. He's not trying to fool us. So maybe that's really maybe what I should have answered you right off the bat. Maybe I'm a Rasha and I'm getting my Schar Olam Hazeh. Okay, so make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. It shouldn't take you more than 15 minutes to see, am I really that much? You have to be like really be a big Russia, because really we don't understand that whole concept. Because if the Russia did some good deeds, he should get rewarded in Olam Haba. Like, it's sort of not fair to the Russia that he's getting his schar in Olam Hazeh. Like, we're not so sure, right? So there's biurim in the Michtam Eliyahu. There's a biurim, and the different svarim say different biurim in that thing. But you have to like really be bad. So you make a quick cheshbon or a slow cheshbon. No, you say, yeah, come on. It's not a secret, it's not hidden. Hashem doesn't play tricks. So if you're doing okay, I'm okay, I'm doing my best. I'm not perfect, but I'm doing my best, then you don't have to worry. And then take it as an nisayon that Hashem wants to see if you're going to say thank you properly. And you thank Hashem that you want to have this all of us, because most people don't know how to react. They just have it well, they have it good, and things are going, like I say, swimmingly well. And you're sort of like, okay, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to thank Hashem. How do you thank Hashem? By increasing your avodas Hashem. Because according to the Rebbe's avodas, that's everything is based on that. Everything in the world is based on saying thank you to Hashem, and our avodas Hashem is our way of saying thank you. So, you get kabur umau olam hazeh, it's like a joke, he says. He says, even he says, what do you mean? He says, how much kavod could you get already to make it worthwhile? Afilum yifshol zichri b'kulo. Let's say, oh, you know, Marshall McLuhan, I get my 15 minutes of fame. Everybody in the world holds of me. Everybody in the world heard of me, and I'm famous for like my 15 minutes of fame. But so how long does a person live for? So like for 120 years, most of the world, you don't really care about it. A lot of people in the world who are reading People magazine, or you don't care what they think. Hopefully, you don't care what they think of you, right? You don't care about what the Zulus think of you. So, it's pretty limited. And how long could it be for? And is it going to be over the whole world? It'll be over like, like people see the name in the Chadash newspaper, like. But what is it already? Like a little local newspaper that, the three people read. And, and it's like that, because you have these local politicians, and I don't mean anyone specific, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. Like local politicians and local rabbis, guess what? And local rabbis, and they're very puffed up with self-importance, and they think, you know, and what are they? They have like this little maluchas, little steeple, you know, with the 17 people there, or 150 people. What's the difference? It's a joke. It's a joke, right? And then, so that's what he says. Like, what are you getting already? How famous can I be already? Most people in the world will never have heard of me, that's for sure. Although Yasmin Kinsman Muad, and my fame, as I say, is 15 minutes. That's what you get, according to Mr. McLuhan. You get 15 minutes of fame. And tomorrow, guess what? They got to fill up the newspaper tomorrow, too. So tomorrow, they forgot about you already today. With all your fame that you got into the local newspaper because you... you won the hot dog eating contest on July 4th. So by the next day, they forgot about you already. And they're on to the next Narishkeit, because they got to fill up the newspaper every day. I used to wonder about that when I was a kid. Like, how does it happen that events happen that fit the, and it's enough to fill a newspaper. Like every day enough things happen to fill a newspaper. And I used to like be fascinated by the obituary page. Like what happens if no one would die? Like would the page be blank? Like I never see the page blank. I never see, it's always full. Like what do they have, do they save up people that died really a week ago? I still don't know the answer to these questions. My father, Olav HaShalom, really was, in those days, the New York Times was like the Bible. The Bible. And like, everybody read, like, you read the Times from cover to cover. Like, he would ask me, you know, what time the ships are coming into port tomorrow. I could tell you, when's high tide tomorrow? You know, 11:15 is high tide. And there's three ships coming into port tomorrow. One on the Hudson, one there. You read everything, cover to cover. Now it never became a low-life rig, anti-Semitic low-life rig. It's still, you know, by the old timers, it's still like the New York Times. It's still something. The Great Lady, I think she's called, right? These are psukim that talk about fame. It's fleeting fame, you know. You get it. V'omar teitzei rucho yoshev liad moso. That's the fame. V'omar in zichron l'rishonim. Who remembers? Like you're famous for a few minutes and then it's gone. Im kain, so tell the Yetzirah, I'm going to bother with fame. Fame is so fleeting. Fame is such a joke. Who's giving me the fame? Who are these people? It's worthless. Kitzur, fame is absolutely worthless, tell the Yetzirah. Why should I do anything in order to get kavod? And it's very heady, H-E-A-D-Y. Kavod is very heady, and it makes you feel good about yourself. But, you know, one of the sad things is that the more it makes you feel good, the more you have to examine how much self-worth you have, how much self-value you have. Because the more you feel good because someone that you barely know is standing up for you when you come into a room, the sadder your life is, the more pathetic your life is, right? I once had a very, very wise person, very wise, a chavrusa of mine in Muncie. I learned with very, very smart person. So he for a tkuf in his life, he was a rebbe in the yeshiva. So he says when he first became a rebbe, so he'd walk into the base medrash, and people would stand up, like he'd look around, like who they're standing up for. But by the after a few months went by, he said if there was a guy like in the far corner of the Beis Medrash that didn't get up, he'd get upset. That's not what he said. That's what it does to you. What?
It's like Haman and Mordecai, you know.
In Cain, Tirud Nafshibo, my bothering with it, Vakavanosi Elof, Pachisus Nira, it's so pathetic. To think about kavod, it's just pathetic. The tolos magunim imani, it's worthless. For amar alechem and achasidim, this we have to go back to next time. This is such a powerful. I'm just going to translate it, and then I'm going to run out the door. Once at the Hanishta Visa, are you the same? Do you take everything the same? What are you talking about? Omalei Nishtava Beinecha Hasheva Fagnus. Do you feel exactly the same if someone praises you or if someone talks against you? If someone says you're no good? If someone insults you? Do you feel exactly the same? No, what am I, crazy? Of course I don't. As I said, you got a lot to work on yet. Omalei Adayin Lo Higata. You didn't reach yet. Now we're not talking about if a gadol says he's upset at you, then you better feel bad, then you better think about it. We're talking about the people that you want kavod from. You know, so you said if you should feel the same. Why? Because you only have to care about what Hashem thinks of you. Here we go again. If you take what they say as a reflection of what Hashem thinks of you, then of course you're not going to feel the same. But Hanishta Visa from the word Shavda. Are you all the same? I'm like, what are you talking about? Is it all the same to you if someone praises you or if someone insults you? That guy on the street. You're in front of the street, you're waiting for a bus, and the guy yells at you, you don't go to the army, and, of course it's not the same. You didn't reach a Madregan of Avodas Hashem. Hishtadel, work on yourself. Maybe you'll reach that Madrega. Look at these last few words. Kihi Elyona Sheba Madrega Sachasidim Vitakle Sachamudos. This is your goal. You want a goal what to work on? Work on that you'll feel the same if someone insults you or praises you. Good cheer today? Yes.